Okay, it's 7 p.m. We're here. A motion to begin the meeting.
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. All right, first thing on the agenda is Pledge Allegiance, and then we'll have a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, first thing on the agenda is the city meeting minutes. They were posted. You all got a copy of them. Was there any additional corrections that needed to be done to them? If not, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of January 16, 2024 city meeting?
Motion made.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. January 2024, okay. City financial reports, they were sent out last week. Did anybody find anything else they need to talk about? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports for January of 2024?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the invoice and receipts reimbursement has went through, and they've got enough for their approval. All right, next thing on the once a year, it's time to hear the status of the city, the state of the city, and fiscal year city budget message. So, there's two for you. All right. You want one?
I'd like to have one, please.
Okay. The City Commission's primary budget objective is to generate sufficient revenue to pay expenses during the 2025 fiscal year. The cost of goods and service continue to rise all during 23, and they continue to rise daily for various reasons, all of which are beyond our control. As such, our City Commission will be making appropriate fiscal decisions while properly preparing our required annual ad valorem tax and budget ordinances. The Jefferson County PVA office will be providing the City of Worthington Hills with the 2024 property values in late April. Once a report are received, the City of Worthington Hills City Commission will be finalizing our city's 2024 ad valorem tax ordinance, which will comply with the requirements set forth in KRS 132.027. The most important fiscal year 2025 budget item line items continue to be security, waste collection, property maintenance, and road maintenance. Our City Commission should develop and approve a budget designed to cover these ordained expenses without using our city's reserve funds. In conclusion, the City Commission needs to continue the practice of being fiscally responsible. Both the City Commission and our city residents need to understand our primary revenue sources are limited to our property tax and the insurance premium tax collections. Losing all or a portion of either one of these revenue sources for any reason would quickly deplete our revenue reserves or rainy day fund. Our reserve funds should only be used for natural or man-made disasters and or pandemics, since they are unpredictable and devastating to the city's revenue stream. Being financially prepared for the worst case scenario is always the best and correct path to take and follow. Respectfully submitted, Mayor Robert Stoneham. 220 24. Okay. And with that, where did I put that? Okay. I have prepared a budget, even though it says 2024 on top. The road fund says 2025. I caught it after I printed them. Anyhow, this is the initial submission. It has the current approved annual budget for 2024, and it also has where we're at in the center and the proposal. The proposed 2025 annual budget worksheet is on the left, or on the right. So we got approved in the first column on the left, the current look where we're currently at in the center, and then the proposed annual budget worksheet on the right. This, I just gave this out tonight just so we could have it, since it's what we need to do. And this was based off of a 4% increase in our property tax revenue, and that's projecting based off of what our last year's amount. In other words, I took 4% of this $185,000 and added 4% to it to come up with the $192,000. But we can't really do anything on the projected current property tax revenues receivables, because we've got to wait till we get the PVA's report so we make sure that we're in the guidelines of that statute. So with that said, any comments? If not, we can move along. Okay. I want to thank Mr. DeWeese for coming out tonight. We've got some things that I'd like to get some updates on. The first thing on there is that 1111 Ludenberg Court, the IRS.
The foreclosure case.
The foreclosure case. I don't understand these things, okay? I know the IRS has got the foreclosure in process, okay? And you've billed us for the work so far. But when I talked to you, you said that you can include your expenses in the foreclosure case. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the foreclosure, we did not file the foreclosure case, but there's a tax lien out there. And when the plaintiff in these matters runs title, it has to name everyone that has an interest in it, which includes the City of Worthington Hills. We filed an answer and a cross-claim, basically saying City of Worthington Hills has a claim for these unpaid taxes, attorney's fees, and costs associated with that. We would anticipate getting a judgment, and then once there is a sale and the property is sold, the tax liens are paid first, and then the lender, and then any other lien holders or creditors that fall thereafter. So as this process moves forward, we get our judgment, and then basically we sit there and wait until the plaintiff sells the property. Money is then held by the commissioner to distribute to the lien holders based on their priority.
Okay.
But you're the one that puts our name on that short list, right?
Yes. We have filed the answer and the cross claim in that case. Okay. So if the city ever gets served, it would be you. As the mayor of the city gets served, then you, in a foreclosure case, you would send that to us, and then we file the appropriate response.
Okay. Yeah, we get the stuff in the mail all the time. So,
pleasure of being the mayor. You are the agent of service of process for the city. But these things take take a long time to work their way through the system, because the lender or the plaintiff, it's really up to them as to how fast they want to do it.
Okay. All right. We have some previous city liens filed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess they changed the law, the lien law, from 7 years to 11 years, either last year or year before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But they're not letting you renew the claim any longer on tax liens. Okay? So what would you suggest we, how should we handle these things? Because they're being ignored.
If the total amount that's owed from principal and interest is under $2,500, I would sue them in small claims. I think you could do that. It's relatively inexpensive. It's relatively quick. Then you get a judgment, and the judgment lien would sit on any property for 10 years. Then we could take steps to actively collect on that money. We can do wage garnishments. We can garnish bank accounts. For more than $2,500, you could file a lawsuit. I mean, really, it's a pretty simple lawsuit on these things. And there's not really a defense to it. Like, they have to pay it. So that's really probably the most straightforward, easy thing to do. I would just need to know the property owners and the,
right,
the amount that's owed, and then really it's a pretty straightforward lawsuit.
You have to file a lawsuit for every year?
No, we can file for, we just file them all for however many years that are owed. So one lawsuit for however many of those tax years there are.
Okay. This is just one of those things where I'm questioning, because mm-hmm. we just need to know what our, as they get closer to, there's not anything that I know of that we got close to the 11 mm-hmm. years, okay? And my biggest concern was is if they just continue to sit there, okay, and they're not making an effort, whether they know they've got a lien or not. There's the other thing is, do they even know they've got a lien on the house, you know? So anyhow, we'll just, yeah.
We sent those notice letters.
Well, they get sent the notice letters, but then they just ignore them.
And they just ignore it. And that happens with a lot. I mean, there are a lot of foreclosures going on right now. But it would be, you know, and you could, the nice thing about, you know, reducing the tax lien to a judgment is that gets you an additional 10 years on that judgment going forward as a judgment lien. The downside is that you would lose your priority as a tax lien, and then you just become a regular creditor. But we can actively do something about it. We can do bank garnishments, wage garnishments.
Well,
what if they're a regular creditor, if they file bankruptcy with it?
That would discharge
from, right.
Yeah. Right.
That's the risk you
take, yeah.
So if you wait too long, you've lost it anyway. So we wouldn't have to do all of them. We could do, you know, selected years if you wanted to. If you're getting close,
well,
to 11, you could go from, you know, 11 years, 11 to 8.
Well, we aren't that far back. We took over in 19.
Okay.
Okay. So we've had Dan, I think the farthest back we've got is, what, 17 or 16 that we know of. See, the problem was that before we took over, they weren't giving the information to Steve to handle. So when we took over 19, we basically went back as far as we could, but then we couldn't really prove that the taxes weren't paid. But we, in 19, when we took over, we got the proof now. The liens are out there. So we're not, I'm just thinking ahead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, what I say we had last month, I gave them a report on how much we had when we first took over was like 60 or 70,000.
Wow.
Okay. And we're at around 20, I think, now.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, so it's, and you've done a fine job. I want to tell you, you all have done a fine job this year on getting these ones that were.
I think we have 10 that we've not heard back from.
It's probably the 10 that's got an ongoing case.
Might be. All
right.
Down to about 10.
Right. Okay.
But if you don't do anything, you're never going to get your money, period.
Right. That's what, you know, I'm curious as to should there be a cutoff amount. Once they hit a certain amount, 6,000 whatever, would it not be?
Yeah, well, like he says, if we go to claims court and they still don't pay us, we lose our position once we sue them. Okay? So maybe it's just best that we wait till the ninth year and then take it and go that route.
I don't like the whole thing with small claims court. We've got a situation over there where I live right now that this person is, this is her way, this is how she operates. She doesn't pay her HOA fees.
She's backed up to
once
court.
Before, yeah. She got behind $17,000. And nobody ever did anything. I mean, it was like, well, you know, and now, you know, but no, don't, no, you're not going to small claim courses. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we're filing a lien against you because this is what our, this is what our governing documents say we can do.
Yeah.
You know. And now she wants to negotiate. Can I set up a payment plan? Well, hey, we already have that. It's called pay your dues every month. You know.
Because that, you know, as we know, they file bankruptcy and then you have to barter on what they can pay you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's...
The dilemma is that the lien is passive. And the only way the lien is going to get paid is if you take some action to reduce that to some form of judgment, whether it's a foreclosure and sell the property, or whether it's just a monetary judgment, and then you've got the ability to get a judge to issue a bank garnishment or a wage garnishment,
right,
or send the sheriff out to execute on personal property. And that's really just the dilemma. A foreclosure is expensive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody wants to,
right,
foreclose. To do that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I think it's all very sticky because they could file bankruptcy at any time and then you never get your money. I mean, it's a very sticky, I don't know, but it seems like once you get past 15,000, I mean, that's a lot.
At that point, it's,
that's a lot of money.
I mean, how many do you have that are over
10,000?
There.
How about over 1,000?
Over 1,000.
Because the average tax is like 250 to 350 a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's 5 years, it's going to be $1,500 or something.
Plus interest. Yeah.
Plus interest, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Are you seeing some of the big ones we've gotten?
Yeah. We'll do whatever. You
yeah,
know,
well.
Their risk and benefits.
What I'm hoping is what these people that aren't paying their taxes, they're getting these we buy homes calls, and then when we get those we buy home call sales, the taxes get caught back up. So, and usually the landlords or the people buying at that time usually end up pretty good at paying taxes. Some people, I think, just think they can get away with it, you know?
Yeah. I think to really answer that question, you need to know a list of how many people are late and how late they are in the total. Because I don't know. I really don't know how many.
Well, we get a new... after tax season, okay. See, we have all this stuff we do the first 6 months, okay. In July... At that point, everything is supposed to be done that needs to be done for the year on the ordinances, like the tax ordinance and the budget ordinance. That's why I'm saying from July to December is our time to do things.
That makes sense.
Okay. That to me is open season on whatever we can decide or need to do. without having to, you know, we work on the budget, we work on the taxes in April, because the I'll get the PBA information by the 23rd, required to have it out by the 23rd of April. And at that point, I have to go down through the list. And I actually get on their website. It opens up so that I can go in and look at different things. And at the May meeting, that's where we'll have the first read. I'll be sending you the two ordinances, by the ordinance and the tax ordinance for next month, because I'll do a first read on them next month so that we can have them ready for May for the tax ordinance and June for the budget ordinance. Because the first preliminary one doesn't really have to have a set number. It just has to be pretty much a format of where we go. And we've been doing this every year, so the format you'll get is the one we've been using for every year, okay? So that's the nice thing about being in this position after being on the commission for so long, and everything has been just basically through the years, we've made some adjustments. Like last year, we made an adjustment on the property tax because we added the $50 administration fee after October 1st. And I think we did an interest increase. So that's the kind of stuff we did last year. So we'll probably just be repeating it this year. Prior to that, we just was doing 1% and 10% penalty in September and 1% every month after. So it was, we just felt like we needed to change it a little bit. So anyhow, all right, the delinquency collection issues we have. There was a couple of them, and the one I have on here is about that. The time frame of the mailings. And I just talked about the PVA, okay? We as soon as we pass the ordinance, it goes down to the PVA. PVA gets right on top of it and puts out our bills, okay? And in this case that I'm talking about on here on the C, 4423, it was, they sent the commercial open records request, what we call the CORC, on the 2nd of June. I got the taxes back on the 3rd of June. CORC only asked for current late fees. They didn't specify for 23. Then they closed the house on the 29th of June, and the mailing went out on the 30th of June. And when the mail goes out to the previous owner's name that's on the tax bill. And if they put out a, you know, when the previous owner leaves, they do a forwarding address. And that's what caused the problem on this one. The bill went to the previous owner who didn't really care and didn't notify the closing agent of the tax bill. And that's how it ended up in your lap, and we had this issue. So these are the type of things. We have no way of knowing when houses transfer, okay, without actually going on Jefferson County, and they're usually anywhere from 7 to 10 days late.
Yeah.
So, but I want to try and resolve this to some extent for you this next year, so that when we do end up getting you the delinquency list, that we don't have issues like this one. And I don't know if that mattered to you or not. I just wanted to let you know it was a time frame. It was all a time frame.
Yeah, it was not an issue on our end. I think we handled it, it was fine, and worked through it. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, one of the things that I'm thinking about is when, and I mentioned this to you, Dan, that this year, after we get the tax, that spreadsheet, that we just go ahead and give them the 2024 tax rate, so that whether or not they get the mail-in or not, it gets done at closing. Because once we have the tax bills, technically, if they close in June, they can go ahead and pay the 2024 tax bill at the closing. So I think that's going to help alleviate that problem, but then there's going to be these we buy homes, and you know they don't necessarily send us any information, which, you know, again, these people are buying houses without title insurance.
Yeah, or run a title, and that's not the city's problem. That's
right.
The new owner's problem.
Right. Okay. We have two ordinances. One's for rental property and one's for vacant home properties. Okay? We have approximately, the best that I can figure, about 135 rental properties. And probably about a dozen that are vacant homes in the city at any one time. But we have about 25%, 20 to 35% of the rental properties owners have listed or have sent in their registrations. We've got these other ones that just don't want it. Either they don't know it or they don't care. Okay? And I was wondering, is there a way, or since we have an ordinance, is there something that you can do to help us, like send a letter? I put this together too. This is similar to what we're sending out to the I'll get it down to you guys. These are issues that need to be the property owners need to know about their landlords. And I was thinking, the big things that we have problems with is the rental registrations. And these are just things that we feel like that the owners should know about and should be warning their tenants about. Number 6 pertains to the landlord, okay? Because now we're having problems with multifamilies and single units. And we're also having what I call boarding houses, because there's no relationships on the people in the house. And Jefferson County will go out and check it, but the one that I had them check just last month, they didn't count it as a boarding house because the three women living in there are roommates. And roommates to me, you know, isn't a household. It's something that needs to be addressed one way or the other. We've got four houses in the neighborhood that I believe are, I won't say frat houses, but I believe they're being rented by students down at U of L.
Okay.
And I don't really care about gender mixes or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. We have single family dwellings. The only places we have two business complexes. One's a daycare center and one's the Westport Business Center. That's it. Everything else in the city of Woodland Hills is single family units. And I think it needs to be enforced, But you can't get Jefferson County to enforce it because they have a tendency of, they're not looking at it. They're concerned about the culture. There's people from different countries that have a different culture. But they still have limits on how many people can be living in the floor space. There is a floor space requirement for bedrooms. You can't be sleeping in living rooms or garages or, you know, places like that. And they can't be, you know, they've got to have kitchen facilities. They've got to have bathrooms. Some people just don't care.
Is there a fine associated with Ordinance 3, violation of Ordinance 3, Series 2019? The failure to register your rental property?
It's on the website, but again, here's the problem we have with the fine. We don't have a code enforcement board, okay? And to actually enforce and do the fines on the code that are the ordinance, we have to have a code enforcement board. You try to talk to people to get on the code enforcement board, they're going, no way. I don't want retaliation on me.
Nobody wants it.
Yeah. And they also have to be special. You know, they have to go through training the KLC has. They have to have, they've got code enforcement training KLC puts out. There's a whole ordinance on code enforcement. No, two of them, one for the board and one for the enforcement. And you have to have enforcement can only be done by an officer that's a sworn law enforcement officer. It can't be any of the commission people because we're already sworn members under the Constitution.
But they have to live within the city limits.
They have to live within the city limits, and I forget, I think there's a one-year residence that has to be. They don't have to be homeowners. They can be renters, but they have to live in the city of Worthington Hills. And the other way that they talk about doing it is being part of another board, code enforcement board, of a number of different cities. But whenever the enforcement is going on, the one member of our city would have to be on that particular case. So you could have like two or three different cities combined in a code enforcement board, but there has to be when you have a enforcement that has to be done, your person has to be on that board at that time.
I'm just saying, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
To ask somebody to volunteer their time, and then if you've got a neighbor, and your neighbor is on the code enforcement board, but your neighbor has to report you for violation, that doesn't make
sense. The code enforcement board doesn't do reporting. The code enforcement officer does.
So the officer does.
See, there's board members and there's an officer. Okay. The officer has to be somebody that's a sworn enforcement person, like a policeman or something like that. Your code enforcement board member can be just any time they can hear it. Because they're not going around looking at the violations or looking for the violations. Okay? They're only to hear
what the violation
is, and they make the judgment. The enforcement officer is a whole different part. So there's two parts of it.
Yeah.
So there's two parts to it. Right. So, but it doesn't stop us from, like I say, sending a little nudge letter.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily know that.
Right. Unless they listen to this tape. I don't know what that is.
Bill, they probably don't know.
That might work. In a letter.
And most of the ones we have problems with are out-of-state people.
Yeah.
Okay. The local landlords, most of the local landlords have at least registered once. They're not following. See, they're supposed to register when there's a change of tenant once a year, or the initial registration. Okay, so there's the initial, the once a year, and change of tenants. And that's pretty much it. And it's right on the website. It's just a matter of filling out some lines, and it's not a big deal.
And it doesn't cost anything.
No, it doesn't cost a dime.
But if you live out of state, you don't really care.
Right.
You probably just don't know.
Well, true. And a lot of the out-of-state landlords, they actually have somebody local who manages their property.
Right.
And they don't know either, you know. So.
Well, I can tell you this much. Main Street Renewal knows of our registration. When we first put this in, it was hard to get a hold of those people because they are out of state. They're down in Texas. Now they are pretty prompt in getting their annual renewal on the books. They're a little slow getting the change in the tenants, but I usually send them a little note telling them they got a change in tenants, so we usually get a response back pretty quick.
I've personally experienced, Rob too knows, because he's dealt with them, that we had an international company purchase, and they had no clue. They didn't know. They bought a condo. They knew it was a condo, but they didn't. And they didn't even know nothing.
Right.
So, I mean, I think people just, I don't know. It's just removed from them, out of sight, out of mind. So, you know.
Well, what I worry about with myself is because I don't want to cross the line on being on the HOA board and also being on the commission, you know.
Right.
But if I know, because you had a buyer, had his agent contact me, and I specifically said to this man, no rental properties here. We have a rental cap, no rental properties. And that property sat empty for about 5 months. Well, now all of a sudden somebody's living there. So I checked, the Jersey 24. It hasn't been sold.
Well, he waited and rented it.
So he may have rented. So what recourse? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, who says something about the rental? Who says you need to let the city know you've got tenants in there? You have to register your rental property in June. You have to give us the names of the tenants.
Well, see, we're not the only ones with rental registration requirements. Jefferson County requires rental registrations.
Well, I know that, yeah.
And no. We've actually experienced with one of the landlords that we have who are right here in Jefferson County, the code enforcement officer, while she was doing other write-ups on the property, and since she knew it was a rental property, she checked and found out that it wasn't registered in Jefferson County. And so she wrote it up, okay? And after 3 weeks, it got a fine for not registering the property. And I gave her the name of the address of the other property in the city where it tells it that's also there for her to check. But
I just don't want to have the appearance of using the city to enforce what we have.
Our big concern is
you pay an extra $100 a month for this.
What?
You pay an extra $100 a month, and you give us your renter's information. That's what I'm telling.
Well, the thing is my biggest concern is knowing exactly who or how to get a hold of people. Because, again, this year, we had a vacant house during the cold spell, crack pipe. And the water ran down the driveway for 3 days before I was able to find out who the owner was.
Well, we were lucky because I had a landlord knocking on my door saying, I just got a call from my tenant. There's water coming through her ceiling. Who owns the property above her? I was able to go to my records and say, here it is. Here's
right.
The number. You know.
But this is, it's not so much it's an important issue because it's public safety and health, period. That's all it is. It's public safety and health, and being able to get a hold of somebody when they, especially if your tenant, if their tenants are tearing the property up, okay? That's, it's not just so we know who's in there. It's for the public safety of the neighbors, of the landlord's property. This is why we put it in. We didn't put it in just to be doing it. We put it in there for a reason, because we had been having problems with landlords not taking care of their property, and their tenants were tearing them up, and you didn't know how to get a hold of anybody to send them a letter. You didn't know if it got there or not. With our registration, we get an email address and phone numbers, and that way we can get a hold of them right away. And I even tried going to the neighbor of this house on an email, because he had sent an email earlier in the year, so I knew what the address was. But he never even replied, because he was probably like, I don't really care. You know, the water's running in the garage. It was running out from the garage, so I think it just broke the pipe that goes out to the spigot out front, hopefully. But anyhow, that's the reason why we want to get caught up, get them all on here.
But I don't want to be a dead horse, but I do want to ask this, because I want to do what's right. If I know that there is a violation of an ordinance,
mm-hmm.
I feel like what I need to do is I need to let the city know about it, and then you all take care of it.
All right.
And not the HOA. Does
right.
that sound
yeah.
right?
If you have... Okay, here's another thing. If you've got a county ordinance violation, you can report it 311.
Well, that's true.
Okay?
That's anonymous.
You basically have that option all the time. That's how we're getting so much done in the city of Worthington Hills. We go on, we either call in on 311 or we do it online. And usually when we do it online, we send them a picture. And they're usually out here within a couple of days if it's something that's really a problem.
Well, I have a question. I mean, like, say this case scenario with the broken water pipes and the garages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think not every city has someone that would be notifying whomever. What's the scenario in that instance? Somebody finally called the water department?
I called the water company.
Wouldn't that, you know, be the people who would be dealing with those kind of situations, if, say, for instance, you didn't know, you weren't aware of it? And second, I don't know if we still have the welcoming committee, but, you know, maybe have that put in with whatever welcome packet when there is a sale, that, you know, this...
Well, they get the
you know, kind of have it a few times in the paragraph.
The closing agent,
you know, they absorb it and it's in the front of their mind. I need to register this, you know.
Yeah. The closing, we started a couple months ago. We approved a similar sheet, okay,
right,
to go in with the CORC when we sent it back to the closing agent. That was intentionally done to try and get that property owner, whether they were a renter or not, or a landlord or not, to know, you know, what's expected of them, or, you know, these are the rules. And on there it had property registrations. But we don't know if the closing agent is giving these things at the closing.
We hear they don't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what does, like, the city of Plainview do, and the city of Lake Forest? I mean, I'm sure they have these...
Some of these,
you know,
well,
things happen as well. With, you know,
Meadowvale has a code enforcement officer. Of course, I've talked to Bonnie about it, and she's not too happy. But, you know, some of these cities have code enforcement officers. But again, to do the code enforcement officer, you get the code enforcement board. So Dennis and I, we make trips around the city. On Friday, we do it together. We run the neighborhood to see what's going on. Okay, we run into contractors out here without having permits. You know, it's We don't enforce it. We just bring it to their attention. We make them aware of it. We can't do anything other than report it to the proper authorities once we see something. And if we know somebody's out here without a permit, well, I'm right back to the house emailing the people that I have as contact down in the permits area. So, but enough on that. I just wanted to run this past Rob to see if
we can send a letter.
Okay.
With the license plate, the stickers, it's like if people don't even find that concerning that they could get a ticket or arrested or whatever, why are they going to register their rental property? You know what I mean? I mean, this dog just kind of, I don't know. They're mad if they got to go to jail, though, so, you know, if they hit them in their pocket.
Well, if you can get, if you can get just...
Hit them in their purse, hit them in their pocket.
The whole thing on this, the motor vehicle license and taxes, is because a lot of these people have kids, okay, and they're getting away with not paying JPCS or whatever it is, Jeff Penny.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Well, I think all of this is not paying and not doing the right thing.
Right.
So all right.
We can dwell on it. We can work on this some more. I just wanted to keep bringing this up to Rob so he could make him familiar with what might be in the mill, okay? Because the renewal registration is due in July. So, again, this is one of those projects I want to start get people thinking now so that when July comes around, we can make some decisions, all right? All right. We have... That tree is still down behind these two residents that are listed here. And the thing that, here's a unique thing. It's not on our easement. Where it broke from the tree, it's arched over our easement, and it's in the properties on 4614 and 4616 Pulaski Court. So, here again, I haven't been able to catch that new code enforcement officer. We have a new code enforcement officer in the neighborhood. And as soon as I catch him, because he didn't follow through on this, because when I wrote it up, I said that the previous violation was not completed. Because last year, this 11-014, it's not Queen Anne's Court. The one that belongs to 4614 and 4616 is, I think, 1018 Ludenburg Court. I think that's what it was. Anyhow, they had a violation last year. That's why the tree was removed. Okay, and they were wrote up, they got it removed, but they didn't do all the dead trees, because on the violation it said remove all dead trees. So that's why I referenced the previous violation, and he still closed it. So I've got to get a hold of him and personally talk to him and make sure that he knows that Ludenburg Drive or Ludenburg Court address is the one that's actually in violation. The 11014 Queen Anne's, their tree was in the air yard, and the tree limbs come off, and it looks like they just threw it over the fence. Okay? And I tried to get them to go back and look at it, and they didn't. Because they didn't have anything to go onto the property for, they wouldn't walk around the opening that's on the side of the property to go back and check to see what I was talking about. So I wanted to bring that up too. We try to get this stuff taken care of with just kind of code enforcement.
Makes sense.
But you know, we've had In the last year and a half, we've had four code enforcements out there, okay? One got moved, then they put in a temporary, he just retired. Then they had another temporary, and she just got moved. And now we've got a newbie, straight out of code enforcement school. And that's the reason why I want to get with him and talk about it. I haven't been able to introduce myself, but I'm sure he's heard about Dennis and me, because we usually run into them while they're out there. But I think they told them we go out in the morning, so I think they're coming out in the afternoon to avoid me. All right. But has that helped you a little bit understand?
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to talk to people on the phone and get input like you got here on everything. They're just little issues, but it could be easily resolved with what I would call the note from the attorney. You know, it's an oomph, as I call it. And sometimes it gets their attention if they're good people. Okay?
Yeah, we can certainly do that if that's what you want to see.
Okay. Well, I just, like I said, I appreciate you coming out. You know, if you want to stay for the rest of the meeting, that's fine. I don't, you know.
I think I'll go see how my daughter did
her
basketball game.
Oh, you
look
too different.
Yeah, but I wanted to, you know, we appreciate you coming out to get a little handle. I know this is new to you, and I hope you enjoyed reading that blue book that we brought down to you.
Still working through it.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is the glossary in the back is really handy, because it will give you, if you think of something, like I can't tell you how many times I'll think of something and I'm thinking, I'll go to the glossary and see where it's listed at and then read it. And it makes it so much simpler. So that's a good book. They come out with them every 2 years. So we're on the odd year now. It's usually election year. So this next coming year in 25, they'll have a new one come out. They have the academy, okay? I talk with KLC. You're welcome to be a member of the City of Warrington Hills group. And we fund it in the budget. It's under authorized training reimbursement. And that is... it's a really interesting. There are hours that the attorneys can get out of it. Okay.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So, it's a 3-day thing, though. Okay.
You don't have a house where you go. You're going to find out something new every time you go.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
I've been. Yeah.
Where is it?
It depends on where they want to have it each year. Okay. They've had it here in Louisville before. But most of the time, they'll have one in Lexington and one in Bowling Green or Owensboro.
I almost just drive Bowling Green.
And Lexington, I try to encourage them to have it at the Embassy Suites. It's right off the expressway across from the golf course. What's that golf course they have over there off of? It's a Hyatt. It's not a Hyatt. It's a Marriott. I can't think of what the name, but anyhow, it's right off the expressway. It's real easy to get to. It takes an hour and 15 minutes usually to drive if you don't hit traffic on 64.
Or 5, depending on which way you're going.
Yeah. But, yeah. Again, I thank you for this evening, and you're welcome to stay. We won't have much left to do, but this was the most important thing that I thought we needed to do tonight, because we want to have you involved, okay? We don't want you just being on the sideline wondering when they're going to call me, you know? I want you to know we're looking at stuff, okay?
No, thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to be here. So, yeah, and I'll start thinking about these. If you want to send letters, let me know. We'll do that. And otherwise, we'll just keep working on those text links.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Y'all have a blessed evening.
Thank you.
Be safe drive.
Well. I will.
Have a good night.
Thank you. daughter's going to beat Shawnee in it.
Oh, all right.
The easy way is file bankruptcy. You got more laws protecting them than you do me.
That's
true. That's true. It is.
Okay, let's move along. All right. Any commissioner's input?
About that business?
No, just about anything. It's old business. You got anything old business?
All
right. All right. The status of the property, the delinquent property tax, it's continuing to move. We got another few thousand this past month. Just watching the mail come in. Rob's been doing a great job. We're getting repaid quite well, or we're getting the delinquent taxes for 23 in. I'll put it that way, because that's what he was commissioned to do. The welcoming ambassadors, still nobody talking. Nobody's wanting to step up.
Carol still wanting? I mean, does she want to do it? And she just needs some help doing it, or
no, Carol. We really need two people to go out. Okay, you don't want to put one person.
No, I know that, but I don't know.
Carol doesn't have. I have all the stuff. Carol hasn't even brought it up. Carol, you know, she's. I haven't talked to her recently. I don't know if she wants to get involved with it again or not. Even though she's on the ethics board.
Well, that's what my question was. Can she do?
It's not a sanctioned. It's a voluntary position. It's not a sworn position like the ethics board is. It's just an extra.
She's starting to get out and kind of look for stuff to do, and.
Well, if we could find, you know, like I said, it would be nice to continue it, okay, but you can't break arms to get them to do it. You know, it's like I was talking to Mr. Lancaster yesterday and saying, I mean, look how long we've tried to have that community party.
Yeah.
You know, that was posted on the website forever. Nobody stepped up, you know.
Well, we had COVID happen. That kind of put...
Well, it still was on there after COVID was over with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nobody, it kind of was left out. And I'm all for it. I'm all for giving something back to the community. I'm all for that.
Well, it can't be done in a week or two. It has to be a long-term plan. I mean, if we're doing it, I mean, it's you know, if we're going to have something, it's not going to be till. If we did start it now, it would be September. And if we don't get anything done by July, it's going to be next spring.
Well, it hadn't been proposed this year. And, I mean, that's just it.
Well, who's going to do it?
Always
the commission shouldn't be doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's always got to be September or something. You know what I mean? It's like, there is just, when it's got to be somebody's one way or whatever, how can something like that?
If it's not this, they don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the as far as the food trucks, they've changed their procedure now because everything's just kind of changed. Now they want a deposit. You know, things have just kind of changed.
Well, anyhow, I just wanted to update you on that. Green space litter problem doesn't exist. I just basically, like I said, I changed the trash bags. I changed the trash bags last month, and everything's fine down there now, still. All right, radio checks.
We're going to have radio checks on Channel 5 tonight.
Channel 5 for the radio checks tonight. Anything else on old business? All right, moving right on to new business. Anybody got new business they want to talk about? All right, then we'll start on what I've got left.
Wait a minute, I guess mine's new business. I just happened to see on my phone after I got here tonight, if you all are familiar with over in the Highlands, Bartown Road, Blackford Avenue used to do this, have the red and green lights over top, the X's and the arrows and stuff that's been there for years and years. They've been gone from Frankfort Avenue for years. But anyway, they're taking them down from Bardstown Road. It's on the Wave site tonight. And they're going to sell them for anybody who wants them for whatever, memories or whatever. But the thing that caught my eye was the money that they make from selling them, they're going to use to improve sidewalks. Now, why do we have to pay for our sidewalks if Louisville's going to get money to pay for this? Okay, move on.
I really wish we could do something like sidewalks, because they're horrible. You know.
Yeah.
But as long as we have the thing that says, well, if it's in front of your house, it's your property, you know. So.
Is that a Jefferson County thing? Or
yes.
Well, then how can they do city of Louisville
sidewalks? All right.
We can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most of the sidewalks they repair are connected to the street. Our sidewalks are not connected to the street. There's an easement on every one of our sidewalks, and that's a big difference. If we start, and again, if we start doing sidewalks, the next thing they'll be wanting to do is do the extension of the driveway into the easement.
I'm not saying, I just made the comment, I wish you could, because a lot of people walk. You know, and if we're not gonna, if we can't do the sidewalks for a place for people to walk to, you know, get their exercise and all that, then why don't we put a walking path in the green space?
That's what I've said.
They're walking on the street.
A beautiful park.
They're walking on the street. They walk on the street because even
because the sidewalks are in bad shape, we walk on the street.
No, the sidewalks are being blocked by cars. That's
and
the other thing.
There's humps on the sidewalks.
Right.
I walk on the street.
Our neighborhood isn't that busy on traffic, so. And again, if you do one.
But I'm just saying, why couldn't we have a walking path through that whole green space? Just give somebody a place to meander around and walk and.
Oh, it might be more trash.
Well, Lord knows that's true.
And that is another thing we'd have to take care of. And if it gets a hole from a critter, then guess who's having to fix it? We still, you know, the green space is a green space. Okay? You can do anything in the green space you want to do. You know, that's legal. I'll put it that way. All right? I mean, Why mess it up with a path?
But I just wonder how many people that live in the city of Worthington Hills have ever stepped foot in that green space.
I haven't. You know? I feel like it would, you know, to have a municipal park and have...
Talk about insurance.
Right. That's true, too. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you have mulch walking paths.
Mm-hmm.
I proposed to do it in our neighborhood until I went and looked at old records and found out that actually is in the corner is a holding pond for water in case there's a flood. But I think it is a nice addition to any neighborhood to have something like that. But yes, you got to worry about vandals. Mm-hmm. You got to worry about people getting into
mischief.
And then replacing plants and all that kind of stuff. So it is just another expense, I guess. It's just
okay. Anything else? All right. Update on your Kentucky unemployment tax. All right. Did the appeal? Was successful. We were 0.3% last year, we're 0.3% again this year. Because we were able to go back 5 years after we found out that elected officials, and it is a state statute that says elected officials don't have to have unemployment insurance because they're fired when they don't get reelected. So we have a credit. When I got the last email, it was $863.15. And I think I got that here. Yeah. I printed these out so you'll all have a copy of it. See this. These are all the forms I did, by the way. And Evelyn Dury, she was so helpful. Man, I'm telling you what, she was very helpful. And she made sure, you know, she said, fill them out. If there's any mistakes, I'll fix them. So she fixed a few and was very prompt on it. Now, in somewhere in this email, I think, maybe not. Yeah, it says, you can complete a refund request on our website. And it takes 14 to 20 weeks to process after we receive the refund request. So, anyhow, I wanted to get the commission's okay to go ahead and do the refund request. So if I hear a motion to proceed with that, I will work on that this next month. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to refund.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Thank you, Commissioner Beville. All those in favor say aye.
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 Can I just a little FYI? If you have to pay an unemployment for just the treasurer and the clerk, that's only going to be about like $50 a year.
I know.
So you've got.
Yeah.
16 years worth of credit.
Yeah, that's why we need to get the refund. Okay. All right. KLCIS, that's Kentucky League of City Insurance Services, they sent me the review information, and in the last 2 years, they've had the cyber insurance included in the policies. Well, this year, beginning November 1st, 2024, they're going to charge $500 for the cyber insurance premium. Now, I believe that this, because of how it's stated, only is going to cover till June 30th of 2025.
It's covered a partial year?
Well, our policy apparently covers, the current policy probably goes to
November.
Until November 1st of 2024. This is just a portion of the questions that come with it, but I wanted to bring up the point that our city doesn't maintain any precious information per se. What we get attacked on is trying to get into our email and spoofing us and phishing. I guess it's phishing. Anyhow, there's only one computer in our city that is maintained by VC3, and that's Babs. So every quarter they do a check. And it's constantly monitored. It goes through the VC3's servers. So it's up to you all whether you want to spend the $500 or not.
This is for Beth's computer?
It's for the cybersecurity. Because we don't keep Social Security numbers or national ID numbers. Driver's license numbers, student records. If you go down that first list, there's nothing like that.
Right.
Okay? Everybody has their own hard drive or has their own computer. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's where I'm at odds with what's on your all's computers, okay? Because we don't keep databases or audit logs, or I couldn't think anything. The only time that we get any information from payroll is when I send the information up to our auditors from Heartland. I download the file and then send to Heartland. They're sent via their, what did they call that? Notes or something. What was that they used? There was something we had to log into.
The portal?
Yeah. We used their portal to get it to there.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking this question. Why are you sending it on your computer?
Because I can't get it from Heartland to the auditors any other way.
But why doesn't Heartland send it to Beth, and then, because she has a secure computer?
Because it has to be downloaded by me.
Okay.
I don't even open up the file. I just basically move it.
Risk. I mean, I just know they just get in and they take everything nowadays. They just,
yeah. Well, it goes straight from Heartland to my computer to that portal, and then I delete it. It's just like when you send your stuff up, I won't look at it. Okay, I give you a fax cover sheet. Okay,
I guess what I'm mostly I'm questioning here lately is, I can remember before, you could go into your, you know, commissioner email, and there was never anything odd about it. There was never anything from somebody that I didn't know. And here in the last, since the beginning of the year, it's been this thing and that thing and the next thing.
You know where they're getting
it? How's it getting through?
Well, they get the emails straight off. They have a bot that goes in and just looks for all the cities and looks for their directory. Okay? Once they find the directory, then they have the artificial intelligent bot basically decide what they're going to send you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's when, because I didn't cancel out Steve's, I just moved his email comes to me. So now when I get an email from Steve, or for Steve, or the city, because City of Wharton Hills info goes to Bev, Dan, and me, okay, and myself, I know it's a phishing. Especially if I don't recognize it, okay? This past, was it 2 weeks ago? That one came from Rob, or said it was from Rob, mm-hmm. Okay? So, somewhere along the line, they picked up on Rob's name, okay, and put that email together. And when I looked at it, I didn't even look to see what the email address was. Luckily, I didn't give them any information. All I said that, you know, you'll have, you know, that information is basically goes to Dan. You know, your invoice would go to Dan is what I replied. But then I had it send a red reply. In other words, when it got delivered, it basically gave me the information that told me that email address wasn't Rob's. Mm-hmm. It gave the actual name of the person that email was for. Okay? That's when I got on VC3 and had them, you know, do their thing. Okay?
Well, it's I was sending it to them. I just forwarded it.
Yeah, if you got anything at all, Basically, send it to BC3 and ask them to investigate.
I got a text message the other night, and it really surprised me because it had a
don't open now
link. It was from Steve, and I'm like, wait a second, this is not from Steve, you know. And I mean, because Steve wouldn't be texting me, you know, not now, and he surely wouldn't be sending me a link to click on. So I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. You know.
Yeah, they're. You're going to run into all kind of problems now with artificial intelligence, because they're going to, if anybody is talking on the phone, voice synthesizers are picking up on it. Okay? What you see in the movies is what you get. All right? So you're going to hear voices that sound like somebody you know that really aren't. I mean, I'm already starting to get the phone calls on my Medicare. Okay? You know, you'll hear it, it'll ring, and you'll hear the click on, and then you'll hear a voice. But you can tell it's not a real voice because there's no presentation in it. It's kind of bland. And that's because the Orientals or the Middle Eastern people that was calling you before are now using the voice synthesizers. That's how come there's so much delay when you say hello or say anything, then there'll be a short pause because they're speaking in and the artificial intelligence voice is coming out with what they're saying, but there's no presentation in it. But I need to have your input on this cybersecurity coverage. My suggestion is we go ahead and carry it for the first period for the $500. And the reason why I say that is I want to see exactly what it is we're supposed to be protected. I mean, most of this stuff, when I went through the list, most of this stuff's all NA. I mean, you can see these dots that are on there, them are from my last years, okay? Those are just, I didn't do all the pages because.
Take the refund and get that, and then you have additional $300.
This is for the insurance protection on the city, from what I understand.
I think we should get.
We have to be secure.
That's not something.
It's not secure. It's just basically say this is his coverage.
We need it. Yeah, we'll be insured.
Right.
Do you see if they provide something?
But we do have their banking.
Provide what?
Some kind of
cybersecurity.
BC3 has us on cybersecurity, but it's like anything else. You still have. We have four commissioners, a mayor, and Dan, who aren't on the BC3 network, other than for email. We're only doing the emails. That's all we're really on there for. You know, you got to think, when they're talking to cybersecurity in the big picture, they're talking about the facilities that the governmental agencies that have lots of employees with lots of computers with lots of stuff that can be accessed. Okay?
What are they insuring us for? You know, like loss of personal information, loss of
if somebody was to try to sue us for it, yeah.
So if someone is violated,
right,
with their information.
See, like on number four, okay, do you store sensitive information on any of the following media?
No, I get it. Like,
and down there on G, it says email, okay? Well, we don't store sensitive information on email, okay? We don't have a dedicated senior manager responsible for information security and privacy. I mean, there's, you know, again, you know, we're responsible for our own actions on our own computers. Okay, our big concern is what Bev has on hers. Okay, that's where, you know, they do the check on her computer, on every quarter.
And that's what I'm asking. This will also include that computer.
Yeah.
Can I say something? This says, for purposes of this questionnaire, sensitive data includes, but is not limited to the following, driver's licenses, we don't keep that anywhere, other state-issued identification numbers, I don't think we keep that anywhere, Social Security numbers, we don't keep any of that anywhere, unpublished telephone numbers, I don't think we keep having that anywhere, savings account, checking account, credit card, and debit card number, the only ones we have are belong to the city of Woodland Hills, we don't have citizens. And full name, birth date, and or Social Security number. So, for the purpose, when it talks about, and I don't care what we do, but when it's saying cyber liability insurance is protection against sensitive data being released, and it, I understand, doesn't clear everything, but what they're saying is the major types of sensitive data, we don't have any of that stuff. No one can sue us for Social Security numbers being out.
Right.
Because we don't have Social Security numbers, we don't have bank information, we have names and addresses. Which is all public information on the...
Anyways,
because it's on the Jefferson County, you can look up anybody's name and address on, you know what I'm saying? So,
DBA.
DBA. So,
join Ben Verified. You can find everything out.
So I just don't know. I would suggest to you all to say, okay, what sensitive information do we have that might be released? And if we don't have any sensitive information, then I don't know why we would have insurance about. I mean, I know that, you know, that's my 2 cents.
Well, that's the reason why I brought this up, because I didn't want to make that decision. Okay.
Well, the way you just explained it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
No, I mean, but if there is something that, you know, that's my only thing.
Well, I don't know of any. The only thing that, when you send the payments, do you send copies of the check if they're personal, or do you just let Dan know?
She emails me.
I email him a copy of a check.
Which is name and address. Maybe a phone number. But,
the banking information's on the check.
Banking information, yeah.
That's true. Yep.
So that's the reason why I'm bringing this up.
He's got a picture of the check. You send him a picture of the check. Well, then it's got all the banking information on it. Yeah.
I mean, it's all... I don't know. That's the reason why I brought this up, is I did not want to make a stupid decision, and I wanted to make sure that the commission, since we are a team, we decide.
What is better safe than sorry? Let's go by the better safe than sorry.
Well, my thought was, that's why I say we go ahead and plan on it for this year.
Can I say one more thing?
Huh? Yes. Yeah.
Does VC3 cover Bev's computer?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want you to trust me 100%, but I'm pretty sure that my computer is as secure, if not more secure, than Bev's.
Right, but when she emails...
I'm just saying I want people to know that what I have to do on the tax records and kind of stuff. I have a third party computer guy like VC3 that has other CPA firms, and they handle all the security. So I just want you to say that I know that Bev's is the only one that's protected by VC3, but I want you to rest assured.
Well, my concern is when we get those phishing, the phishing, I'm just saying, we get these phishing emails, they're getting so advanced now, they're putting malware in them, and you don't even know it.
No, I understand.
And that's my big concern. The only thing that I know where the risk is when she emails you copies of the check. Now, that can be alleviated by just blacking out the routing information.
Account number.
But again, you know.
I just paid $500 to do that.
Thanks, Dan.
You paid $500 to do that.
Well, I told you all about my gift card that my son got me for Christmas, and that $100 Visa gift card. And I didn't even register it online until New Year's Eve. And within 7 minutes, every bit of that $100 is gone.
Would you believe my Meijer team gift card, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it came from Meijer.
Yeah.
Just like right that. From the corporate. It was wiped out.
I was in Florida. They got mine from somewhere in Florida.
Mm-hmm. That would be my only thing, is you hear so much now about holding for ransom. That would be the only thing.
Well, see, the ransom thing is not an issue because Bev's computer is backed up by VC3.
Right.
Okay. Do you know how often they back it up?
No, but if I ever happen to have it turned off at night for whatever reason, they don't like it. So I don't know if they do it nightly or if they just happen to go into it that night that it's off for some reason. Yeah. But
I mean, that would be the only, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing to hold for ransom in our computer.
Right, no, that just seems to be the thing to do now. That's what they did to Norman.
All right, so what's the word? Did we... If I hear a motion to take it, I hear a motion to take it. If I hear a motion not to take it, I hear a motion not to take it. I just need to fill the paper out by March 16th, which is before the next meeting.
All right.
Okay?
It's $500, one and done, right?
Just.
For the next.
It didn't tell me what the time period was, but I suspect that is. It may not be a year. It may only be 7 months. It may only be till.
Monthly.
No, it's not monthly. It's only, as far as I know, the shortest time period will be till the end of June of 2025, to where they can get it on cycle with our regular insurance.
So it's probably $500 for 7 months, and then. It'll go up if we keep it for a year after that, right?
That's what I am, I hate to say this, assuming. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because there's nothing in any of the information that I've got that says how long it's for, but this is our annual period for our insurance runs from July 1st to June 30th.
Well, I don't want anybody in here saying that, well, you know, Commissioner Bill was spending money going in, but I don't know what.
Yeah, that's when it starts.
Make at this point, you know. Well, that's not in the form of a motion by any means.
Yeah. All I need is the motion one way or the other, and then a second, and then we'll vote.
Well, I need a percentage of, like, you know, how important it is and how, you know what I mean? Like, if we don't have that much stuff that we have to worry about, that's what.
The only time that we do the email transaction is when there's a payment that we've received in the mail, Bev scans it and emails it to Dan.
And so, are we insured now?
Yeah, we're insured now.
But this is a renewal?
An addition? There,
it's no longer going to be included in our premium. It's going to be an extra premium.
So we've got this until 11-11 of 24.
No, 10-31-24.
Oh, 10-31-24. Okay, and then we won't have that insurance.
Right.
The price may go up. We don't know yet.
Well, the price is set for 11/1/2024.
Okay, let me say something. When I copy those checks, when I scan those checks and send them in an email to Dan, that stays on my computer. I don't delete them. So I have years and years worth of copies of payment checks on my computer. It's not just the most recent one.
Right.
I don't delete them.
I have two because I'm supposed to delete emails.
Right.
Well, I think we should defer to whatever Dan and the bookkeeper, I mean, what Dan and the secretary thinks.
I agree with you.
Okay, do it for the first year and see what happens.
I'll make the motion that we go forward with.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I have a second?
No. Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right.
Thank you.
That's done. All right. Core pipeline training, March 12th. If you aren't signed up, you need to be signed up. All right. It's lots of fun. Lots of fun.
It is fun and it's interesting and the food's good.
I didn't like how they didn't do the door prizes, but that's okay. The dinner and gifts are great.
Okay. Yeah. I've already talked about the fishing email that we've had. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now this is an issue that we need to make sure that we, anytime private property owners call about a downed tree, if it's not on or the tree is not on or near public City of Warden Hills property, it's not our problem.
That's why I refer them to the property commissioner, because the property commissioner should be able to tell them whose property it's on, correct?
Well, that's right. There was an issue with this particular address that I've got listed here, and it should have been just, it's not on city commission property or the city's property. It's between two property owners. If you want, you know, if it needs to be removed, you need to, you know, deal with it on your own. And basically, it's insurance law. If it's on your property, you're responsible for removing it. If you want to get your property, damaged property replaced, then you go to small claims court.
We had a whole fence line cleaned out between us and those big houses behind us that are on Lunenburg. Because we had dead trees, we had split trees, you know, and we just had somebody come in there and take them out. Because I said, one of these days they're going to fall,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be over here wanting to get money from the HOA.
Right.
Well, you know, according to Rob, with the property behind us, we legally cannot go on that property and tend to those trees.
Well, these trees were on our side of the fence, but we... And that's why we have them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anything else for old business?
No, that was new business.
That was old business. Or new business, excuse me. Anything else for new business? All right. Commissioner reports. Who wants to be first?
I'll go first.
Thank you, Commissioner. Go ahead, Commissioner Bill.
I continue to review the Commonwealth severe weather analysis reports as they arrive, and I do consult with Mayor Stoneham when the forecast warrants. So we're keeping a close eye on the weather. On 119, I contacted Mo Better and requested that streets be pre-treated. On 131, I registered for the core pipeline safety program. On 2-9, I contacted Commissioner Moffitt via email about the ongoing problems with the yard lights. On 2-9, there again, I returned a phone call from a homeowner who had a question about a tree, and I gave her the contact information for Commissioner Adams. And then I reviewed the documents and reports in preparation for tonight's meeting. That's it.
Okay, I'll go next.
Thank you, Commissioner. Go ahead.
2524 Gerald City for streetlight check. 2924 email from Commissioner Bavell that the street lights were out in Tres Condo Salon area and requesting the new bulbs. 211 Gerald City for streetlight check. All lights on in Tres Condos. I also spoke to LG&E. The rep stated that if the light isn't out, they really don't know what to look for. So I did tell her that the next time it even flickers, that I'll be calling them. And she also said that they are replacing the old bulbs as they go along.
Well, you know, it's really, it's not your job to troubleshoot it.
That's it's not. But they're saying that we will have to pay if we want the new bulbs put in. We'll have to pay. 218 Grove City for street light checks. All lights were on again in Trump Condos, but I'll try to catch it. Maybe if I send them a photo. 220-24 attended the city meeting, read all March emails, and will participate in a radio check with Commissioner Metcalf on Channel 5.
February emails, not March. That would be February emails, not March.
Oh, February. I'll write that down. I'm already in March. I'm ready for winter to be over. Yes.
I saw this the other day. January was a tough year, but we got through it, didn't we? That's what it felt like.
My birthday.
Okay. Is that it? Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead, Commissioner Metcalf.
Gerald City on multiple occasions conducted radio checks at the last city meeting using Channel 4. We'll conduct radio checks tonight after the meeting using Channel 5. Mayor Stone and I met with Detective Mason on 2/9/24. Mayor Stone and I went to Dan Small's office on two occasions and storage area on one occasion. Answered one phone call concerning parking permits. Went to the post office on Fridays with Mayor Stone. That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Mayor Bob doesn't have anything this month.
I do have one more thing to say about the checks that come through me. It's according to the bank, maybe it's statute or whatever, too, I have to keep those checks for 60 days. So they are in a small safe in my office at home. And so the checks that I get today's the 20th, when I go to put them in the safe, I go back 2 months, December 20th, any checks that date or earlier, which are already gone anyway, I then shred them. So I do have 2 months worth of checks at in my office, but they do get shredded as I'm supposed to be.
Okay. Well, I mean, anymore, they have, send a picture of a check, that kind of stuff, so... You know, as far as that kind of information, I don't know what kind of violation, could be done, really.
Just for our protection, we'll do the short term.
Yeah.
Next year's renewal comes around, we'll have more time to realize or figure out what's going on.
Okay. I mean, these people are not going to stop. Obviously, they're not going to.
They've already figured out how to.
I purchased my son's something off of Amazon. I'm not Amazon savvy, and within 3 days, you wouldn't believe the charges nationwide on my credit card.
Oh wow!
And thank goodness, I'm talking thousands. DoorDash. Instacart. I mean, it was crazy. Memorial something. They were trying to have me.
Did you do it on your
memorial
phone?
Memorial service.
My pastor's wife got her.
I did it on my phone.
And they just.
So you've had problems with your phone.
Yeah, I don't think it. No, I think it was the vendor, and Amazon thinks it was too. But luckily, my bank stopped them right from the get-go. But within 2 or 3 days, they have racked up thousands. I mean, my mortgage company, they've been hacked.
Oh, my goodness.
Your mortgage company, where they have everything, all your
issues. You know, we were told in church one day that the safety with your information at church, like sending in your tithing and all that kind of stuff, checks or whatever, is not as safely covered as porn sites.
That's
isn't that awful?
And you're afraid to send a check through the mail now.
Oh, no. I drop it off right at the post office. Yeah. I'm there every Tuesday with him, and if I have anything to mail, it goes out right at the post office. Inside, not outside. Inside.
Yeah, there was just a posting on next door, by the way. Before I left, it's somebody. I don't get. I'm not signed on, but because Mayor C had signed up Betty.
Oh.
Okay. It gets transferred from the old email address over to the city's address, and it was talking about. It just gives you a little clip, and it says. Somebody put a sympathy card in the mailbox and it got stolen.
Now,
and that's all it gave. That's all the information it gave. But anybody that's putting anything on the... Don't put mail on the in the mailbox.
No, well, they actually have people on camera in the middle of the night driving through neighborhoods checking mailboxes.
Well, yeah.
So to get your mail.
We had a resident, Sharon, and I'm not going to say her last name. She actually caught two of the kids going and opening the mailboxes right next door during the day.
Yeah. We used to have a neighbor down the street that would send out his 4-year-old to check the mail.
Well, I told her she'd hate to say, but... The day of Harold's funeral, I went to their house and stayed there.
Oh, yeah.
While everybody else was at the funeral and the reception. Because Harold said, I said, you have no idea. They were just watching for this.
All right.
They used to put addresses in the obituary.
Yes, they did. Oh. They sure did, yeah.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
A motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. It is 8:42.